I'm Tanzina Vega. It's The Takeaway, and it's great to be with you. During the pandemic, Americans across the country showed their appreciation for essential workers who kept our communities intact. From nurses to cashiers to teachers, praise has been heaped on those who answered the call, and rightfully so. But there's one class of essential worker that hasn't received a similar spotlight, despite their backbreaking labor. And those are farmers and food service employees who worked grueling hours during the pandemic. Many of them are immigrants who live in the shadows. A new report out today from the Center for Public Integrity and Mother Jones is revealing just how integral these immigrant workers are and how they have been overlooked by the public health response to COVID-19. One of the report's co-authors, Susan Ferris, is with me now, and she's a senior reporter at the Center for Public Integrity. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
The top line here, your report revealed just how pervasive immigrant labor is on the front lines of essential work. What did you find? What are the percentages?
Well, what we found, we identified almost 2 million workers who are frontline workers in food processing and farm work. And we found that 43% were immigrants. And we found that 9 in 10 were Latino.
That's 90% of the workers are Latino.
Of the immigrants, yes.
We also know, Susan, that there have been high rates of infection among Latino and Black populations and Indigenous populations specifically. What were your findings there? Did the report probe into that?
Yes, we did. We overlaid for a map, a national map we have, spikes of COVID in counties. Our map is county by county, and anybody can go look at it and check out what the percentages are in their communities. And so we did find that there was a connection between the two. And I think anecdotally, we're seeing this. What is happening, though, is we're not really keeping track of who's getting COVID and who's dying in these communities. What I found in a community in Georgia was a man who died in May. And really, judging from public records, that you can't tell that he was a poultry worker in the community of Hall County, Georgia, and that he died of COVID. In order to establish that, I got a tip from someone there. I had to find his family in Mexico and confirm that. The company that they told me he worked for would not confirm that he even worked there.
Susan, is this because we're talking about an undocumented population of worker who may be afraid to seek health care because they're undocumented, so they're afraid to approach hospitals or doctors? Or is it because the organizations that are hiring them don't want to admit that they have undocumented workers?
You know, I think it's both. In this case of this man, he was actually a U.S. citizen. He was an undocumented worker years ago, but he received amnesty back in the late 80s. And so he was actually a citizen. But I have spoken with people in the same community who were undocumented workers who became sick and continued to go to work because they were afraid not to go. And they wanted to stick it out as long as they could because they were afraid that they wouldn't get paid. It's kind of a patchwork of policies. And some people are reimbursed for time they're off and some people aren't. I talked to one family where the breadwinner was only getting 60% of her pay because they put her on disability.
What have major food producers, or how have they responded to the coronavirus? Are we seeing efforts to provide personal protective equipment for these workers, undocumented or not undocumented?
You know, I think we've seen an improvement in policies, and I was told in Hall County by some of the workers that things had improved. There was more masking, more separation. But these are jobs where people congregate, so it's difficult. Out in the fields, it's a mixed bag. Some farm workers told me that they were getting masks and that they were taking steps, employers, to separate people on buses when they're taken out to fields. But others, you see anecdotal evidence that there are people who are still taking great risks and aren't getting protection.
The CDC, which has had its own issues, as we know, in terms of its guidance, in June issued guidance to farm employers for mitigating the spread of COVID-19 in those areas. Has that had any effect on worker health, Susan?
You know, I think there was some evidence in one county in Monterey that's actually tracking people who get COVID by job, by occupation, which really isn't being done nationally, that there was a decline, but they're still getting it. And I would say it's probably not enough. People are still becoming sick. You know, this is a vulnerable population in many cases. We've been living with this denial, you know, that undocumented people and people who may have papers, but their family members don't, are doing this work in many communities across the country at the same time as politicians are attacking them and saying we don't really need them or they shouldn't be here.
You did interview communities that rely heavily on immigrant labor and at the same time say they support President Trump, who has moved to restrict legal and undocumented immigration. So how do those folks feel about what's happening?
You know, that's right. I've talked to people in communities around the country that were Trump voting communities, and people just seem to be in denial, or they simply don't understand the immigration system, and kind of their bottom line is, well, if they want to come work here, they should come legally. People have these believe in myths, really, that there's some sort of line people can get in to come and do jobs such as these. And there really isn't. There's a guest worker program for farm work only, and very few specialty meat packing like seafood that's seasonal. But the vast majority of these jobs are done by people who live in the country, but they came illegally originally. And some people have been here 20 years, many of them. And or they come as family members. As you say, there is a legal system for entering, but it's really based on family. And President Trump wants to cut back those numbers, too, for family members.
And Susan, finally, in your reporting, you found that there are sort of informal networks that many of these workers have created to care for each other if someone should get sick. Tell us about that.
Yes, that's right. You know, in a lot of the communities where I spoke to people, they have, you know, a professional class of Latinos, and they do try to turn out help for people. They organize food drives. They get churches involved. They get donations from companies, too. But a lot of these workers can't go get cash benefits from organizations that might pay give you some emergency cash to pay rent. So if they don't have papers, they're not going to do that. So people are really reliant now on donations for just basic food if they've lost hours of work. And some workers in the fields did lose hours in the spring in Florida, for example, where a lot of farmers plowed under crops.
Susan Ferris is a senior reporter at the Center for Public Integrity, and you can find a link to her report at publicintegrity.org and on our show page. Susan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.